Well, good morning. Praise God. Isn't it good to praise the Lord, to give him thanks? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 to 18 say this: let your joy be continual. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. When I look over my life, how far I've fallen short of this command. Give thanks in all circumstances. I find it so much easier to complain. I find it so much easier to moan when things go wrong, and to try and sort it all out myself. I know I'm still a work in progress, and I know I will be this side of glory, but one day I shall be like him, but it ain't yet. And so I want to encourage us with these words that we are reading today from God's word. And I'm sure I am mainly reminding you, and it's not something that comes to you new, about how we need to give thanks in all circumstances. Why should we do it? Why should we give thanks even when things are looking bleak in our lives? Maybe a job has been lost along the way. Maybe sickness is plaguing us. Relationships are breaking down. Bereavement has touched us. Money is short. Why do we give thanks in situations like this? Well, number one, it's a biblical command. Colossians 4 verse 2 says this: devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Ephesians 5:19 says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It's the will of God. It's a command that we give thanks to him in all circumstances. You know, people shrink away from commands in our day. You say, this is what you must do, this is a command. People don't like to do it. They don't like absolutes in our day. They prefer to distort the word of God or reinterpret. I'm sure this is what it really means and not what you're reading there. And so some make the word of God fit into their way of thinking. But you know, giving thanks is a command, as we've seen in the main verses in Thessalonians that we've been looking at. So it's a command. But you know, it also has a beneficial effect. There's power in praise and thankfulness, because although your circumstances may not change at this point, your perspective certainly does. You begin to lift your eyes from your situation. You begin to focus on the one who can lift you up, the one who can make you more than a conqueror in all of these things that you may be going through. An attitude of gratitude changes your mindset. It changes the way you think. Thanksgiving is powerful. It also brings peace. It says in Colossians 3, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And then Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God is not like anything else. I remember when we were in, and I've said some of this before, when we were in that consultant's office and receiving the diagnosis for Eddie that he had Alzheimer's, I knew the peace of God in my heart. I knew the peace of God so clearly. And as we were coming out, I said to Eddie, "Eddie, what do you think about that?" And he said, "Myra, I'm 72 years old. I've hardly had anything wrong with me the whole of my life. How many people can say that?" He wasn't thinking of what he'd just heard. He was grateful to God for what he'd received in 72 years. His initial thought was thankfulness for what he had received. And I'll tell you this, the peace of God has ruled in his heart. I've never seen him anxious at all about anything that is going on in his life. That is the one thing that blesses me in him. Giving thanks is powerful in even difficult situations. It not only satisfies God's will, it benefits me too. And we need to understand that it's not just parrot fashion giving thanks and it's just to please God. It does something in us as well. So how do we give thanks in all circumstances? Well, like I said a few minutes ago, change your perspective. Change your perspective. If you continue to dwell on your circumstances, I'll guarantee you, you'll sink. It takes an act of your will to lift your eyes off what you're going through and lift your eyes to the Lord. We can spend time wallowing in a situation. And I want to tell you this, I'm an expert, so I can tell you this from my heart. I've done plenty of it over the years. And it's never worked. I will guarantee you that. It has never worked. It doesn't change anything. And it can lead to depression. You need to be careful on that. Peter was walking on water. He was actually walking on the water until he took his eyes off the Lord that he was walking towards and saw the waves coming up. And so he began to sink. Focus on God. Begin to thank him for who he is. You know, we've done that in some of the songs that we've sung this morning. Begin to thank him for who he is. You know, stop looking at what's going on around you and lift your eyes to him. Psalm 107 says, "Let everyone give all their praise and thanks to the Lord." Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. I love this translation. Yes, he's always loving and kind, and his faithful love never ends. Psalm 95, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. Why? For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Thank him for who he is. Thank him. You're not in a relationship with just anybody. You're in a relationship with the King above all gods. Thank him for who he is. Thank God also for who you are in him. It says this in John 1, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They're reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. From his abundance, we've all received one gracious blessing after another. We're his children, it says in Ephesians 1. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. Isn't that staggering? He identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us also the inheritance that he promised. You know, when you're part of your family, you're in the will. And we're in God's will, if you like. We have an inheritance that comes from him. It says in Hebrews this, since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. And then Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Rejoice because you're his. Give thanks to the Lord every day for who you are in him. It's amazing. Change your perspective. Adopt a much more temporary view of the here and now and lift your eyes to eternal things. Look at what you're bothered about in your life and say, in the light of eternity, does it really matter? Lift your eyes higher. And then thank God for what you have. You know, our God is a great God, and we have blessing upon blessing coming new every morning to us in all kinds of different ways. David recognized that everything that's good comes from God when he said this in 1 Chronicles 29, wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we only give you what you first gave us. Recognize that everything that you have comes from him. James said it in James 1. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. So everything we have is from him. I know that we've looked back at what we've achieved over the years as a couple and what we have. And we are truly blessed by God. And we recognize that it wasn't our efforts that brought about the things that we have, but it was the blessing of God on our lives. Give thanks for what you have. Look at the good things in your life, the good things that you can thank God for every day. Look at them. I thank God every day for my eyes. I just think what it would be like to be blind. I just feel that would be awful. So thank you, Lord, I can see. Thank you, I can hear. You're so cut off from everybody. I've had friends who've been totally deaf, and you're so cut off from people when you're deaf, when you can't hear what's going on. What a pleasure and a privilege that I can hear. We have so much to thank God for. And I was blessed when Becky was saying she's putting something every day in a jar. And I know with 365 days in the year, she will not run out of things to thank the Lord for, because he is so good. So thank God for what you have. Thank God for the people in your life, the ones who make life easier. You know, those folks who will come along and share your burden. I've got some of those lovely friends who will share your burden with you, who will encourage you and keep you going. Thank God for them. Thank God for the people in the past that first led you to him. You know, people are great. But I want to say this as well. Thank God for the difficult people in your life. Change your perspective. Look for the good in them. I'll tell you this. My son does that. He puts me to shame. He can see good in everybody. And I think, well, you didn't get that from me, son. It only came from the Lord. You know, God is so good. And so see, change your perspective. Learn to look for the good in the people who get on your nerves. I'll tell you this, God has put them there to develop your character, to rub off your rough edges. Oh, it's so easy to get along with the people who are so good to you all the time. But what about the people that are there because God knows you need some sorting out? And so he brings people into your life. You know, we can thank God for those people. Thank God for them. And then I want to say to you, learn the secret of being content. When you're content, you've got a much better perspective. We live in a nation of discontents. I'm speaking generally. Of course, I'm speaking generally. But we're made to feel discontent by salespeople who always think we should have something better. You know, even UPVC windows that you've had and that's still serving you well need to be replaced. Come on, you've had them so many years and they need to go. Your neighbours are getting the kitchen and we're in your area. How old is your kitchen? That's 22 years, 23 years or whatever it is. You need a new kitchen, 23. No, it's the same as it was then. It's all right. And we just get discontent with what we have. The iPhone 6 is no longer good enough. You need the 7, the 8, or the 10, or is it the XS? I'm trying to keep up with all of this. I do not have one of them, and I don't want one, thank you. But, you know, we're made to feel discontent. R. Ian, when he was little, was discontent with Gola trainers. He wanted Nike or Reebok, I think it was in the day. And so we're made to feel discontent in all them kinds of things in life. And yet we can be also discontent just with where we're at. We can be discontent with the amount of money we receive in our jobs. We can be discontent with all kinds of things that is going on around us. And it's so easy to feel that way. Paul said, I've learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. When they're whipping me back and I'm sat in stocks in prison, I've learned to be content. Or when everything's going great and I'm really rejoicing, I'm content then too. It's so easy, isn't it, to do the easy stuff when everything's going right. But what we're told in God's word is to learn to be content. Where you're at, learn to be content. Say, Lord, well, if I'm in this situation for a long time, I'm content. I'm not looking, how do I get out of this along the way? You know, we have to learn that. It's a discipline, really, to learn to be content. Thankfulness arises out of contentment. If you're content, you'll automatically be thankful to the Lord. I just like to thank God for all of the things that he's given me. I thank God for the home I have. I thank God for the car on the path. Doesn't a car make life easier? Yeah. I mean, it does. Well, I'm not going to take it for granted because I'm so grateful for it being there and grateful that I can drive. And don't make any comments about my driving. I do get around and that's absolutely fine. But you know, I am so grateful to God for what he's given me. And do my difficult circumstances change the fact that I'm grateful for those things? No, they don't. They don't change those things at all because God has blessed me. I crave in my life his peace and his contentment. I want to know that peace because then I'll cope with anything. I want to know that contentment because then I won't be always looking to get out of what I'm in right now. We need to learn how to change our perspective, how to lift our eyes higher. A spirit of thankfulness makes all the difference in our lives. Thankfulness is a natural outflowing of a heart that's tuned to God. Is your heart tuned to God? Is thankfulness a natural outflowing? You can give God thanks in anything if you can see him in it. Romans 8 says that, doesn't it? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. If you can see God in it, you can learn to give thanks. Job, what about Job? He just suffered just about everything you could throw at a man. He lost his family. He lost everything he had. He lost his health. And yet, his eyes were not on his suffering. His eyes were on his Savior. He said some amazing things. Job said this. He stood up and he tore his robe in grief when he'd lost his family. And he shaved his head and he fell to the ground to worship. When everything went pear-shaped in his life, he fell to the ground to worship. I came naked from my mother's womb, he said, and I'll be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. He saw his Savior in his situation. When they saw Job from a distance, this is his friends who came along, they scarcely recognized him. That's how bad he was in his health. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and they threw dust in the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. When he was in that kind of a state, and his suffering was too great for words, his eyes were still on the Lord. He knows where I'm going, he said in Job 23. He knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. You keep your eyes on the Lord. What a difference it makes in your life. You keep on thanking him for what he has done and what a difference it makes in your life. Ingratitude is a sin. It says in Romans 1, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. It wasn't even just the fact they wouldn't worship God, they wouldn't even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Ingratitude is a sin. A godly perspective on life is what we need. A contentment with where we're at and our eyes on eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, which we've been looking at. Let your joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. These are three areas in our lives that we need to focus on. I am sure there is not one of us that could stand up and say, I've got this all sorted. Every one of us needs to focus on him. Three areas, unbounded joy in every situation. Learn that deep inner joy that comes from him alone when we've got our eyes on him. Praying continually. Giving thanks no matter what happens in our lives. And you know, these three virtues combine to show the wonderful expression of Christ's life in us. How many volumes do they speak to the people in the around us when they see that life doesn't take us by surprise? It doesn't knock us off our feet because we've got a Savior. And they will see too that there is a God in heaven, because it's not normal, natural behavior. It's supernatural behavior. It's what we need when we draw on him. Change your perspective and show to the world around you there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen.